The budget cuts in 2013 seriously hampered the military's ability to conduct what it calls reset on equipment coming back from the battlefield, and officials are warning Congress that things will only get worse if sequestration continues throughout 2014 and beyond. Lieutenant General Raymond Mason is the Army's Deputy Chief of Staff for Logistics.
We had planned to execute about $4 billion worth of reset. We lost about $1.7 billion in that. That equates to about 800 vehicles we weren't able to reset, 2,000 weapons, about 10,000 pieces of communication gear, 32 helicopters that we had to not do this year. All that got pushed into 14, and now we are in 14, not able to do that work again because of where we're at.
It's a similar story in the Marine Corps, says Lieutenant General William Faulkner, that service's deputy commandant for installations and logistics. He says since the drawdown of the Marine Corps' surge forces in Afghanistan began in 2011, it's already removed 67% of the equipment it had in the country. Initially, the Marine Corps was fully funded to carry out its reset plans for 2013, but then came sequestration. The biggest impact, Faulkner says, was from the reduced number of man hours available at government-operated repair depots. Under sequestration, overtime was prohibited, hiring was frozen, and employees were furloughed.
Just as a result of 6 days of furlough, which perhaps to the uninformed may seem relatively modest, 1,200 pieces of equipment we were not able to induct in our maintenance system. And that stuff, again, that's deferred out to the right, and that's the you just can't catch up on it. Like a tsunami over time, it's just going to gain. And so those are items such as radars, communication equipment, vehicles that are already destined for our operating forces. One of the things that our commandant put in place early on is we published an Afghanistan equipment reset strategy and a playbook. So every one of these pieces of equipment that's in Afghanistan today, right at 24,000 of them, have a home, and they're part of our future. And the challenge with us now is that if they don't come home on time, as we planned, our focus being those forward-deployed crisis response forces, they go without.
Mason says the Army has seen similar damage to the workforce capacity at its facilities. At one location, the Center for Industrial and Technical Excellence for Helicopters in Corpus Christi, Texas, civilian workforce resignations shot up 40% in 2013 compared to their historical norms.
That's the place where we're taking an incredible amount of risk. We certainly are focused on plant equipment and modernization of that of our industrial base, but it's really the workforce. Based on sequestration in 13, we can attribute about 2,000 employees that were lost through sequestration. Another 2,000 came down because of workload reduction. But we didn't anticipate that sequestration, so that was a huge loss in workforce. Inside of that are very technical skills. For example, at Corpus Christi, our aviation depot, we lost 36 master engineers that went off to find jobs someplace else in the oil industry or wherever because they saw this furlough in 13 and they looked out into 14 and 15 and perhaps they predicted what where we're at today, which is not a good thing. So I'm very concerned about the workforce and our industrial base.
And Mason says it's also pretty clear that the chaotic federal budget environment has also had a significant impact on the ability of Army depots and arsenals to hire new people to replace those who are leaving.
We are eating our seed corn. We're eating our future. Those people that would want to join us, they would say, this is a great place to serve. I want to work at Anniston Army Depot. I want to work at Corpus Christi. They look at our situation. It's very unpredictable. So we've got this issue of predictability and balance, and we have neither of those right now, and that is dramatically impacting our workforce and our ability to get this equipment back into the hands of our soldiers for whatever's required of the next mission for this nation.
The Army and Marine Corps both say that regardless of whether sequestration is abolished, both will need Congress to continue to appropriate funds into wartime accounts, the Overseas Contingency Operations budget, long after the final troops are scheduled to leave Afghanistan at the end of 2014. They say they'll need another 3 years of OCO funding to restore equipment coming back to the U.S. And getting that equipment back is a tricky process, too. The Army estimates it still has $17 billion worth of government property in Afghanistan. The Marine Corps has another $1.6 billion. But Mason says the cost to remove it from the landlocked country is subject to numerous variables, including the global price of petroleum and the political relationship between the U.S. and Pakistan, whose territory the main ground route in and out of Afghanistan runs through.
Our estimate is for the transportation cost is $2 to $3 billion. The reason I have such a big range in there, fuel is one of those variables. If fuel costs continue to go up, we're going to push into the $3 billion range. If the PAC GLOC was to close, we could in fact go above that $3 billion range, and we'd have to fly more out. So that's why I have that variable in there. The security agreement, basic security agreement, is key, and that allows us to work on that timeline that the president's established in December 2014. If things happen with that, and I guess I'd make this final point. The retrograde is driven by the political environment and the training of the Afghans and the drawdown of our forces and the closure of bases. And then we retrograde follows that. So it's in response to whatever the commander on the ground says he's doing for base closures and as he works through the BSA.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.